Great to be in church. Let's pray and then you can be seated. Father, I thank you that you're right here tonight. And we don't have to strive to find you, that you're here and that you want to speak to all of us. And right now we open our hearts to you. And we pray in Jesus' name that anything that would distract us, anything that would become between us and what you're wanting to say would be stilled in the name of Jesus, and that you would speak to us all. Amen. Have a seat. Well, as Jamie said, if you do want to be baptized, it's one of the last opportunities in this building, which means the countdown is on. Yeah, we should. Maybe we'll have one big giant baptism. Maybe we'll get the fire hoses out and fill the whole place up, gaffer tape the doors, and just fill it up with water. Actually, where's Tennille? Tennille tried to do that once, didn't you, Tennille? You did. She flooded the whole place. She did. No. Tennille has never been trusted with the big responsibility of turning a hose off ever again. But the countdown is on. We're in the last number of weeks in this building. So 26th of November is when this building settles. So that's when we hand it over to the new owners. So that's not that long. And the date of the last service would be a few days before that. Leonie was going to get her phone out and she's going to tell me. And 24th, is it? Yeah, 24th will do. 24th of November will be the last service here. Unless there's some amazing things really line up, we'll have at least one or two services, I would expect, in the Buckingham Rowing Club, which is in Newtown Bay, which is not that far from where we're going to be meeting in Moona. And then we're just waiting to see how quickly we can get DAs and things through council to find out how quickly we can start meeting in the new building. So the plan will be we'll meet in the upstairs part of our Moona building. We can very quickly get that ready for services. And then we can start some work on what is a very exciting stage one of the project, which will be getting the auditorium and cafe and all that stuff ready in the downstairs section. So really exciting day. So anyway, just keep praying about that. Let's just keep asking that. You know, we've asked for favour on this and God has given us incredible favour. Let's just keep praying for unity. Let's walk into this together and let's, you know, just ask that, you know, that everything will work. DAs will get through council, buildings will settle, all those things. There'll be no hitches in any of that stuff. We're not expecting anything like that, but it just does, yeah, pray so that we're just got God all over it as he has been. A couple of weeks ago, I sort of talked about these amazing verses from Romans chapter 8. And that's not where I'm going to preach tonight, but I want to sort of start there and springboard into something else. And the title you can probably see behind me is There Is More. And in Romans 8, these are really famous verses. Verse 37, it says, "Yet in the midst of all these things, we triumph over them all. For God has made us more than conquerors." And I've talked a little bit in the past and a lot about the fact that the battle we have is, you know, we're not trying to fight to win. We're already part of the winning team. We've already won. And our battle is actually waged from a place of victory. And so what does it mean when you're in that place? I think you can already say that you actually live your life from a position or a place of more. Because Paul writes and he says, you are more than conquerors. And think about that. You know, you are more than just one of John Howard's Aussie battlers. You are more than a winner. You are more than a conqueror. You are more than an overcomer. How are we more? Well, you overcome with a greater power, and that's the power of Jesus. You overcome with a greater motive, and that's the glory of Jesus. You overcome with greater victory. You lose nothing in the battles. You overcome with a greater love that conquers enemies with love and converts persecutions with patience. We've got this incredible place where we already come from a position of more. And I want to talk about how Jesus makes that work in our lives tonight. How does more actually work really practically for us? So in Luke chapter 5, and this is sort of early on in Jesus' ministry. He's only just starting to speak around Galilee and those areas, and he's getting around the people, and we find that he's preaching from a fishing boat. So he's got himself out of the church, if you like. He's got himself out of the synagogue, and he's speaking to the everyday people from a fishing boat. Now that would have been the hub of life in that area. You know, that around the Lake of Galilee, that there were fishing communities, and he was there right there amongst the people. So he's standing in a fishing boat, and he's speaking. And it says this in Luke chapter 5, verse 4. It says, when he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, launch into the deep water and let down nets for a catch. And the background here was that Simon Peter and his mates, his business partners, they'd been out fishing all night, and they'd come back with absolutely nothing. Who's ever been fishing and got nothing? Yes, it does happen, doesn't it, Pete? I remember we had a... I've been tuna fishing quite a number of times, and normally done okay. You know, if you can get the tuna back to the boat before the seals get them. But I remember we had an Energizer tuna fishing day. And rather than being on sort of smaller boats, as I've been on before, we were sort of on, you know, these commercial boats, and we're out there thinking, oh yeah, this is going to be all right. And I spent hours out there, and we got nothing. Our boat got absolutely nothing. I can remember that we had, anyone remember Jo Pang, the Pang? She was on our boat, and her now husband was on our boat, and he was sick as a dog, spewing up everywhere, and we absolutely caught nothing. So we would have got off the boat feeling like, bleh. Some people were, bleh. And if someone had said, hey, do you want to get back on that thing? Do you want to subject yourself to the sort of fumy diesel smell that sort of combines with seasickness and get back on that thing and go out there because you're going to catch more tuna? And we would have said, look, we've been out there. They're not biting. It's not happening. And these guys, they're professional fishermen. They know what's going on. And they said, Peter says, Jesus, we've been out all night. We've done it. And we have absolutely got nothing. I'll read the whole thing from the Passion Translation. It says this. It says, Jesus sat down and he taught from the boat. When he had finished, he said to Peter, now row out into deep water and cast down your nets for a catch. Master, Peter replied, we've just come back from fishing all night and we didn't catch a thing. But if you insist, we'll go out again and we'll let down our nets because of your word. When they pulled up their nets, they were shocked to see a huge catch of fish. So much that their nets were ready to burst. They waved to their business partners in the other boat to come over for help. They ended up completely filling both boats with fish until the boats began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this astonishing miracle, he knelt down at Jesus' feet and begged him, go away from me, Master, for I'm a sinful man. After pulling their boats to the shore, they left everything behind and followed Jesus. I think the interesting thing here is, for Peter, Jesus wanted to show him that there was more. I reckon for a lot of people, having Jesus come and preach out of your boat would have been pretty cool. That would have been enough notoriety to get you through the next year, perhaps. I mean, Jesus was really, he was setting the place on fire. People were coming from everywhere to listen to him, and he speaks out of Peter's boat. But not only was he content to speak out of Peter's boat, he actually wanted to do something good for Peter. And he said, Peter, you know, I want to bless you. I want to bless you and your friends abundantly. I want to do something amazing. I want to go over and above what you would expect. All you got to do is get in your boats and go out and we're going to catch some fish. Jesus is a carpenter. Peter's a fisherman. So Peter's sort of like, hey, Jesus, I know boats. You know wood. There ain't any fish out there. And it was his experience and his mindset that nearly negated him from receiving the blessing. I wonder how many times that Jesus wants to do something good for us. I wonder how many times he says there is more, but our experience or our mindset negates us from receiving what Jesus has for us. Our experience is, hey, we've tried that. We've been there before. Peter's experience said, hey, we've been fishing all night. We've worked hard. Go again? Come on, you've got to be joking. This would be absolutely pointless. We're tired. We know what's there. Jesus said, yeah, Peter, I know you know boats, but there is more. There is more. There's more than just having this radical, charismatic teacher come and speak out of your boat. I actually want to do you good. Perhaps we've had glory days. Perhaps we've been part of God doing something amazing in the past. Perhaps we've been around some pretty amazing people. Perhaps you've had a season where you did incredible things for God and he worked in your life and he worked incredibly in your world. There is more. Maybe you open up your house for Connect Group. Fantastic. There is more. Maybe you've served faithfully on a team in church. There is more. Maybe you've served in all sorts of ways and you're ready for retirement. There is more. Maybe you've been flat out with kids, family, business. There is more. And here I think as I've been preparing this message, here is what I believe is a prophetic word. And I think Jesus would actually say to all of us, don't feel guilty. Don't feel the weight of expectation. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. He actually wants to do you good. And I think we've got to get a revelation and an understanding that Jesus actually wants to do you good. He doesn't want to just see you working hard for the sake of working hard. He doesn't want you to feel guilty. He doesn't want you to have to step into something that just tires you out. He actually wants to do you good. He wants to bless you. He wants to use you mightily in his kingdom. He wants you to experience more. Maybe you're like Simon Peter. Hey, I've toiled all night. There's nothing there. I've been bringing up the kids. I've been serving on the teams. I've worked in kids' church. I've worked hard in youth ministry. Have you been there? Maybe you're there now. How do we position ourselves for more? How do we position ourselves? How do we get ourselves in a place where we're ready for more? I think number one, we've got to trust Jesus over our experience and our current mindset. We've got to trust Jesus over our experience and our current mindset. You know, our experience will say, oh, yeah, I've done this and done that. And you know what happens? You know, somebody says, Sometimes you get somebody and they'll come into our world. Sometimes when you've been in church leadership and you know, they're really green and they haven't been on the journey we've been on. They said, "Oh, I'm so excited. We should try this." And sometimes as experienced church leaders, we say, "Yeah, but..." Yeah, we did that back in 1982. We tried it again in 93. Tried it again in 2006. Hey, it doesn't work. And often our experience will cloud us from the fact that Jesus actually wants to do us good. There is more. Let's trust Jesus over our experience, over the things that we've been through and our current mindset, and step into more. Peter says, "Hey, we've toiled all night." And the word he actually used there was "master, we've toiled all night." And the ancient Greek word that is used here in Luke for master is epistata. And it's actually a word that is unique to Luke's gospel. It isn't used anywhere else particularly. And the word conveys the idea of commander, leader, or perhaps boss. So what he's saying to Jesus, and this was very, very key to Peter's breakthrough. He says, "I know boats. You're a carpenter. I've been out on that lake. I know the times and seasons. I've got so much experience fishing on that lake. In fact, probably I know more than anybody else who fishes on that lake. And I'm telling you right now that the fish are not around." But he actually, when he says master, when he says leader, when he says commander, when he says boss, he actually takes himself and he puts himself in a place of humility. And he says, "Actually, I'm going to be humble past my experience. I'm going to be humble past my background. I'm going to be humble past where I am now. And if you say go, Jesus, we're going to do this." And the fact that he was able to say, "Jesus, you're my leader, you're my commander, and actually I'm going to trust you in this moment," meant that he was able to be the recipient of an amazing miracle. Peter was the expert when it came to fishing. Jesus was the expert when it came to miracles. And he trusted Jesus beyond his own expertise, beyond his experience and his current emotional state. So how can we position ourselves for more? Well, number two, I think we've got to place his word over our experience, over our expertise, and over our emotions. And he says, "At your word, I will let down the net." And this was an incredible statement of faith. Kingdom people throughout history have lived and gone out with confidence in the word of Jesus. At his word, there was light. See, the word, his word is really powerful. And if you want to get excited about something, start to read the first chapter of the book of John. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. And it is that same word that said, "Let there be light," when there was nothing and there was. And that word that actually spoke this universe into being is the same word and the same Jesus who actually wants to do you good. It's the same word that actually wants to inspire you for the next season of your life. It is the same word that wants to propel you into what is ahead of you in the next season. Isn't that amazing that the same word that spoke the universe into being is the same word that wants to speak into your spirit in your season? And isn't it incredible how the enemy manages to blind our eyes so that our experience and our emotion and our current situation can actually stop us responding to the power of the very same word that spoke the universe into being? Rationally, it doesn't add up. But somehow, emotionally, we sort of rationalize it. I've been there before. I'm tired. I don't know if I can go again, Jesus. I'm spent. I'm done. And Jesus is never saying, I want you to go and run another marathon, or I want you to do something that's going to kill you. He just said to Peter, all we've got to do, Peter, is get back in that boat, get it off the shore, get it out into the deep water where the fish are, where there is opportunity, and you let me do the rest. And I think there are people here tonight, and he's not asking you to do anything you can't do. He's just asking you to take a step, perhaps out of a place of relative safety, and get into a position where he can do you good. If you want to position yourself for more, because in Jesus there is more, let's place his word over our experience, our expertise, and our emotions. Talked a little bit about the way our experience can stop us responding to the word of God. We've seen it before, or, you know, I know what happens when, or I get that feeling, whatever. Those things will, and it's not, I'm not saying throw wisdom out the window. There's power in the experience, but we've got to make sure that experience doesn't blind us and negate what Jesus is actually saying to us in the now situation. What about our expertise? There's some things we're good at. Some of you are good at all sorts of things. And you don't really need God to help you. You're just good at it. And sometimes we'll spend our whole life just functioning in that area we're good at, and we actually never step into a place where we actually need God. See, Peter had expertise as a fisherman. He knew that it was no sense going out. That didn't require anything much to work that one out. But he actually had to position himself beyond his expertise to experience a miracle. I remember years and years ago, it was probably the start of God leading me into what has become the next season of my life. And I remember being challenged about humility, and perhaps I was a little like Moses. Moses actually wrote of himself, Moses was the most humble man in the world. But we all think we're humble until it gets tested. And I remember for me having that there were areas I was quite confident and things like that. And it was the trade that I worked in was, I was really confident in that. I was okay at it. I could do it quite easily and felt really confident in that area. And it was, I went through a season where I'd sort of got outside of some of my expertise and perhaps, you know, had some things that happened during that time that really humbled me. And it was like God was actually showing me. I remember as I went through that, you know, I got to a place where I really felt humiliated in a couple of areas and things like that. And God actually showed me. He said, you know, now, Dave, I can actually work with you. Often our expertise can cause a sense of pride that means Jesus actually can't work in our world. What about our emotions? What about our emotions? Jesus, I know that you want to do me good, but I've just opened my heart up one too many times. Can I take that risk again? You know what he says? He says, My yoke is easy. My burden is light. I'm not going to lay anything ill-fitting or heavy on you. Walk with me and learn the rhythms of grace. And I believe this is a prophetic word for some people here right now. Jesus is just saying, I want to do you good. There is more. Let's position ourselves for more. And I'm just going to pray now, and I'll invite the team up in a moment, and we'll close the service. Just bow our heads, close our eyes. Maybe you've got a mindset right now. And a mindset's a little different to your emotions. It's just a pattern of thinking. It's a way of responding which becomes very sort of normal to you. Maybe it's safe. Maybe it's just the way you're viewing the world at the moment. Are you able to trust Jesus beyond that current mindset? Are you able to trust Jesus beyond your current worldview? Holy Spirit, I just pray that you would just fall across this place right now. I ask that you would just come and meet us where we're at, and you would challenge, and you would break, and you would move beyond our current mindsets. Lord, I thank you for the experience that so many of us have had. I thank you that some of us can testify to just the incredible things that you've done in our lives. And we thank you for your faithfulness through the pain. Thank you for your faithfulness in the dark days. Thank you for what you've shown us through those times. Lord, we just pray right now that our experience, our pain, sometimes our jadedness, would not negate us from the fact that you want to do us good, for the fact that there is more. Lord, I thank you that you want to move beyond our current emotional state. I thank you that you understand the emotions of every person who sits here right now. And I thank you that each one of those emotions are valid and they are real and they matter. Lord, I just pray that you would move beyond those emotional states. They would not cloud and negate the fact that you want to do us good right now in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord. There is more. There is more. You need to step into more right now. Just stand up. come out to the front here, and we're just going to pray for people. We're just going to, I just believe people are wanting to step into more. And Jesus actually wants to show some people tonight that he wants to do them some good. That he actually wants to lead them into things. And it's not about, it's not even about that miracle, because you're going to reach these people. You know, for Peter, it was the overcoming of fear that launched him into what was ahead for him. When the miracle happened, he said, "Jesus, this is too much. I suddenly realized that I'm a rugged, crass fisherman. You're the Son of God. And I feel, I just don't feel worthy to even be in your presence. It's like, get away from me." And Jesus said to him in that moment, Peter, do not let your fear negate you from the fact that I want to do something incredible in your life. And this miracle right now, it's just the start of the journey.